before I start, so join with me in prayer. In fact, I would like for you to understand something. There's a scripture that says that if any two shall agree as touching, whatever they agree upon, God will do. Now, of course, the assumption is that you are praying in accordance with the will of God. And so when we're talking about touching, listen closely, we're not just talking about touching hands, we're talking about touching faith. If two believers agree together in faith, then God will do whatever they agree upon. So I'm going to pray for you this morning in accordance with the will of God. I'd like for you to take the hand of somebody by you, and we're going to agree together on these things for each one of you today, as well as those that are watching. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus, the Son of God. We believe that he is the Son of God, that he died on a cross, that you rose him from the dead, and that he's interceding for us right now. Father, upon these people, I pray right now salvation. I pray conviction. I pray wisdom, knowledge, discernment. Father, I pray the favor of God on these people today. I pray the perfect will of God, body, soul, and spirit. I pray righteousness, peace, and the joy of the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray on these people today the mind of Christ, the blessings of God, not just to come up to them, but to overtake them in Jesus' name. And Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over each one of them that would protect them, keep them, preserve them. God, I call these things now as being done, because I speak them in faith, and we are in agreement. And everybody said,
amen.
You got to say it louder than that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Before I share this morning, I've asked Gary to come up and sing a song for us. God bless you, Gary. Come up and minister to us.
Okay, wasn't that a great prayer? Whenever I get before a group, I like to acknowledge the work of Jesus in my life. I was saved probably back in 1971, 72, 71, I believe. I had no idea what kind of path I had before me. There's an account in the Bible where God sent a prophet to the house of Jesse. And he had a bunch of sons, and they all had differing abilities, achievements. But one of those sons wasn't qualified to be in that line, and he was just out tending the sheep. That happened to be David. And this song addresses that. And I'm just so thankful for God's truth that it never changes. We don't have to worry about his truth being this today and something else tomorrow. And it's always consistent, has been from the foundations of the earth, and it will be on into eternity. Okay.
One by Jesse's sons stood before the prophet. The father knew a king would soon be found. And each one passed except the last. No one thought to call him, for surely he would never wear the crown. But when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even when your life seems filled with thorns. just a moment, he can touch you, and everything can change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. One by one, problems come, dreams get shattered. Sometimes it's hard to understand. Things like chance, circumstance, they don't really matter. Our Father holds tomorrow in his hands. And when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even when your life seems filled with ordinary things, just a moment, he can touch you, and everything will change. Others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Well, he wasn't the oldest, he wasn't the strongest, chosen on that day, but the giant fell. Nations tremble when they stood in his way. And when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even when your life seems filled with ordinary things, when God's anointing dwells within you, you'll march on to mighty things. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. God may see a king.
What a perfect lead-in to what I have to share today. What a wonderful song, and thank you for that message. I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 4, and as you're turning to that, if I was to title my message today, and usually I don't, because usually they're so unorganized they can't figure out a title, but if I was today, I would entitle it, The Anointing of a Warrior. And I got news for every one of you. Every one of you are a warrior because every one of us are involved in a conflict. There's a conflict that we were born into, and that's a conflict between good and evil. And as we stand for evil, God, listen to me, God never intended for you to do it in the flesh. God gave you the anointing of the Holy Ghost to stand against evil and be an overcomer in the world of evil that we live. Now, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus has just gotten done being tempted by the devil, and we're going to get to that in just a moment, but I want to bring some clarity for you in case there's something that might be not clear in your mind. We talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and now we're talking about the anointing of God. Let's be clear on the terms. The infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, listen to me, enables you or accesses you to the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Those terms are interchangeable. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the Holy Ghost, they mean one and the same. But the anointing of God is then the activation of power that enables you to produce the results of God through the infilling of the Spirit. Now, I know that gets confused. When I first got saved, we got saved in an Assembly of God. I got saved in an Assembly of God mission in Vietnam. Becky got saved in an Assembly of God church. And when I came back from Vietnam, we started going to the Assembly of God church. And they had the WMs, which was women's ministries. They had the CAs, which was Christ's ambassadors. And they had alphabet or letters for every ministry they had, but I didn't know what they meant. And so I was a young Christian, full of zeal and full of vigor, and the pastor got up and said, this Tuesday morning, the WMs are having a prayer meeting at the church. And so I decided, I'm going, a prayer meeting. So I showed up at the women's ministries because I didn't know that WMs meant women's ministries. So we throw these terms around, and maybe some folks aren't really familiar with them, but what I want to focus on this morning is, again, the anointing of God. Now, God expects that if we are going to become victorious and overcomers, God expects us to ask for the infilling of the Spirit on a daily basis and to ask for the anointing of God on a daily basis. And if your life is like mine, there are times during the day where several times I will ask God to give me the anointing of the Holy Ghost. If you've not been doing that, I would encourage you to do it, because the infilling of the Holy Spirit is a continuous flow. It's a we sing the song, "The River is Here." It's talking about the river of the Holy Spirit. There's a constant river flowing that God will allow to come into your life, bringing you that power. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse number 1. And this is something that the last time I preached, I brought to your attention. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Listen, Jesus did not do the miracles that he did because he was the Son of God. Let me say that for you again. Jesus did not do the miracles that he did. He did not live a sinless life because he was the Son of God. He did those things because he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he was under the anointing of God. If it would have been any other way, it would not have been a fair deal, because he came to us to present himself as an example to us. How could he be a proper example if he's doing what he's doing because he's God, but we're still human man? But God says, I'm going to fill my Son, Jesus, with the Holy Ghost, just like we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then I'm going to give him an anointing that will empower him to produce the results of God. And those same powers are available to you and I. We need those powers not just up here in the front of the church. We need those powers to live for God the type of life that he wants us to live. Our families need us to be filled with the Holy Ghost and operating in the anointing of God to combat the evil that is coming against our families. Can you say amen to that? Our children are bringing things into our homes that they are unaware of, but the anointing of God can meet those things at the door and say, you don't come in here, devil. This family and this house belongs to the kingdom of God, and you have no right coming in. But I'm going to tell you something. You cannot say those things and produce a result without the anointing of God. So we see in verses 12 through 13, that Jesus is tempted by the devil. We look down at verse number 14. It says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Let me translate that for you. And Jesus returned under the anointing of God into Galilee, and there went out fame of him through all the region around about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Why was he glorified? Listen, there is an attraction to the anointing of God. There is an attraction. If you're concerned about somebody listening to you, get yourself under the anointing of God, and you'll have no problems getting somebody to listen to you, because there is an attraction, there is a draw when the anointing of God is obvious in your life. He goes on to say, and he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now listen, what's going to be described in verse number 18 is the enemy that we are fighting. And let me say this, that any move of God that has ever been or ever will be that is legitimate will end up in the consummation of the desire to see people born again in the hearts of the believers. I'm going to say that for you again. At the bottom of every revival is the heart of God, and the heart of God is to see us go out and reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, in that regard, every single one of us are evangelists, that we have received a power to go out and be attractive to those who don't know the gospel, to share the gospel, and have people listen to us when we preach. You say, I don't know what to say. Open your mouth and the Spirit of God will fill it. I had an idea once and it didn't go over that good, because I heard people say that they just didn't feel like God wanted them to witness to everybody. So one Sunday morning, I brought several hundred pencils and stuck pencils in everybody's pocket when they came in the door of the church. Nobody knew why I was doing it, but I did it anyways. And at some point in the service, I was talking about soul winning, which is at the bottom of my heart. And I said, listen, the next time I had everybody stand up, I said, the next time you come to me and you say, I don't feel led to witness, stick your hand in your pocket and you will feel led and then go out and witness. You see, the truth of the matter is that we are here to propagate the gospel. And I want to tell you something. I've seen groups this size, every one of them, get committed in their heart to be a gospel-preaching evangelist in a short period of time. I will tell you this. I'll speak prophetically over this place. In a short period of time, this room will not hold all that God will send in once we as a church decide we're going to operate under the anointing of God. Yes, it may be involved in laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, to open the eyes of those that don't understand the gospel message. Listen to this. This may scare you, but you may come against somebody that is completely devoured by demon spirits. God will call upon you to lay hands on those individuals, cast those demons out, send them back to the pit of hell, and see somebody walk out in freedom. That is exactly what God has called us to do. Every single one of us. Now here's our enemy, verse 18. Jesus is quoting from Isaiah 61, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The anointing of God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. There is the fivefold strength of sin. the fivefold strength of sin. Number one, sin brings poverty. Under the anointing of God, you will break the bondage of sin and see people that are in poverty walk into abundance. I'm not just talking about the money in your pocket. I'm talking about the freedom of your soul. If you go out under the anointing of God and begin to attack a sinful world, you will see people walking in freedom. The second bondage is the broken heart. Sin breaks hearts. Sin ruins families. Sin ruins lives. Under the anointing of God, you will see the brokenhearted healed, and you will see those that lived a miserable, hopeless life walk in freedom and prosperity and finally with a future. Number three, sin makes captives of its prisoners or enslaves people. We all know that when we talked about drug addicts and so forth, which we dealt with in Minneapolis for many, many years, these people came in, they didn't really want to be involved in drugs, but by the time they came to us, they were so enslaved in sin, they had no way to get out. But I'm not just talking about drug addiction. I'm talking about addiction to vain imaginations. I'm talking about addiction to depression, to discouragement, to thinking there's no future, no hope for you. Those are addictive forces as well. Those are enslavements that keep people down rather than causing them to rise to the level that God has. When you go out under the anointing, listen to me, when you go out under the anointing, the Spirit of God is going to come upon you, and the Spirit of God is going to make you attractive to those that are enslaved to sin, and you will have the gospel message if you will just ask for the anointing of a warrior. That's what I'm going to pray for you at the end of the service today. Then we've got the fourth bondage of sin is those that are blind to the truth. They can't hear the truth. Why? Because the enemy has stopped their ears with falsehood. The truth of the gospel breaks every strain of lie that the devil has to offer. But I'm going to tell you this, you must do it under the anointing of God. You must be walking daily under the anointing of God to speak the truth with the power. How many of you, and don't raise your hand, I'm sure we've all been in many different churches in our lives, how many of you have sat under a teaching that was without the anointing? Yes, it came from the Word of God, but there was no anointing versus being under somebody where they spoke the Word of God with the anointing, and though it was the same verses you might have heard elsewhere or at another time, it suddenly began to make sense to you. It suddenly struck into your heart. It suddenly made a difference in your life. This is the anointing that God has for all of us. And finally, number five, the fifth stronghold of sin, it oppresses. It holds people down. But thank God. Thank God that the anointing breaks that. And then it says in verse number 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That is, according to Leviticus 25, that is the year of Jubilee, where freedom comes, where debts are canceled. I don't think you're getting this morning. This power is available to you. And hopefully, as I have described this, you're thinking of people in your own neighborhood, maybe in your own family, that need the breaking free that the gospel can give under the anointed messenger. That's for you to do. Now, let's take a look at Galatians chapter 2, and I want you to see something that perhaps you've not seen before, because this anointing has a special association with it. Listen as I read Galatians 3, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Now, what's crucified? Did Paul actually get on a cross? Let me tell you the answer. His flesh, his desires, his motivations, his mindsets had been crucified. He had laid them down in the presence of God. And because he did, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So, look at me. When you lay the flesh down, when you say to God, Father, I'm done with it all. I'm done. I want your thinking to be my thinking. I want your motives to be mine. I want your attitude to be mine. I want the mind of Christ. When you do that, you are now walking in complete wholeness with God. And the life which I now live in the flesh, now listen closely, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not in the Son of God, but the faith of the Son of God. Say, what point are you trying to make? I'm trying to tell you that when you operate in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you are now not operating in your faith, you are operating in the faith of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the one soul that got it. I'm going to tell you something. I've been preaching for 20 years before I came across that, and it about knocked me off my chair. Not my faith. Listen, my faith is inadequate. It is inadequate for everything that I face. But suddenly I realize when I'm under the anointing of God, I'm not believing in Jesus. I have the faith of Jesus. If I have the faith of Jesus, I can do the works of Jesus. When you crucify the flesh, God reaches down for you. If you're operating in your flesh, you think you're way up here, but God says, I'm going to reach down for you. I'm going to pull you up, and I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost after washing you with my blood. And when I fill you with the Holy Ghost, I'm going to give you an empowerment to operate under the anointing in the very faith that Jesus, my Son, had. Look up at verse number 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Not your faith, not anything that you scrounge up. But when, listen to me, when you come to the altar or you place yourself before God in a place of humility and you've been filled with the Spirit of God simply because you ask Him, you then say, Father, I need the anointing of God. I want it more than anything in the world. And God gives you that anointing. He now gives you the very faith of Jesus Christ. There is no reason that you cannot go out and do the same works that Jesus did because you are operating in the same faith that Jesus had. Acts chapter 1. As I continue to bore. We had an elders meeting and I said, I live under the West Virginia rules that if you are not striking oil, stop boring. I can't even find Acts. Where is it in here? You got me so nervous, I don't even know where Acts is. Acts, yeah. Let me get to the table of contents. Everybody have it? Acts chapter 1. Now, this is a story. Let me just poll my audience. Are there any Pentecostals here besides me? How about charismatics? I always thought that sounds like an automatic transmission, don't you think? Charismatic. Okay, so we are charismatic and we are Pentecostal, and there are those perhaps here or those watching that have no idea what either one is. Just bear with me. If you are a Pentecostal or a charismatic, Acts chapter 1 is something that you cut your teeth on. But I want to read it again for you. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do both and teach, until the day in which he was taken up after that through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking in the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now listen, and being assembled together. So now he's come off the cross. He's made himself visible to his believers. And now just before he goes back to sit at the right hand of the Father, he says this. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. What is the promise of the Father? Acts chapter 2, verse 39 will tell you, as Peter was preaching, he told them that the promise of the Father was the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Father is not salvation. That is a promise. But the promise of the Father that's referred to in the Scriptures is the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the accompaniment of the anointing of God. That they should wait there and not move until they had received the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days thence. Skip down to verse number 8, or verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. What was Jesus saying? You might have a call to preach or to sing or to testify or a call to be a husband or a call to be a wife or a parent. He might call you to go stand out on the street corners and pass out tracts. But he's saying, don't do one thing until you be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't do one thing in the flesh, but wait on the anointing of God before you do anything. Gary sang a song about David. Of all the sons of Jesse, the one that was the least likely to be chosen, listen, the one that was smallest in stature against the power of sin was the one that God chose, because God knew that the one that was the most inadequate was the one that was the most open to the anointing of God. And it was through the anointing of God that Israel would become what it was and that David would become what he was. The same principle is true today, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The most insignificant of them all will be used of God in mighty and powerful ways because of the anointing of God. It's flesh or anointing. It's flesh or anointing in every area of life. We have movements, and this is going to sound like I'm being critical, but I'm really not. I'm proud of my heritage of Pentecostalism. But I spoke in many, many different Pentecostal churches. We have a form of godliness, but we are denying the power thereof. Baptist churches need the anointing of God. Lutheran churches need the anointing of God. Assembly of God churches need the anointing of God. Pentecostals need the anointing of God. Because we're in, listen, God didn't save us and build his church in order for us to operate in our own power. We're not proper representatives of who God is if we're doing it in our own power. And that's not only true in a church, that's true in your own family. You are not properly representing God until you are operating in the anointing, and you will never operate in the anointing until you have crucified the flesh. In other words, until you have said, Father, I want to lay my flesh down. I'm done with it. I'm tired of the way I think. You know, as we were praying this morning before the service, we talked about vain imaginations, or I prayed about vain imaginations. I don't know if we talked about it or not, but anyway, do you know what a vain imagination is? It's a lie of the devil. And you know what happens? The scripture says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And I had this dream or vision, I guess it was, come into my mind, and I thought of Proverbs 18, where it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We all know that verse, don't we? But you know the last half of the verse? And he that believes it will eat the fruit of it. And he that believes it will eat the fruit of it. What is the fruit of your conversation? Is it anointed conversation? Is the fruit, when you get done talking, is there a nice pile of fruit laying down there? Or is there a big pile of garbage? Because be assured, the scripture says, you're going to eat whatever comes out of your mouth. You're going to eat the nice-looking fruit or the pile of garbage. You're going to eat it. Sometimes it's better for you under the anointing to sit there and keep your mouth shut, rather than let a pile of garbage come out that you are going to have to eat and everybody around you is going to have to smell. The anointing of God. We are engaged in a conflict. And you will not be successful in the conflict without the anointing of God. And right now, I want everybody in this place that needs the anointing of God, that desires the anointing of a warrior, because you have accepted the idea that you are in a conflict, and without the anointing, you won't make it. I want you to stand up, and I'm going to pray for you. I am in a conflict, and I want the anointing of God. I'd like to sing a fast song, but I don't have a good enough voice to sing a fast song without music behind me. So I'm going to sing a slow song that we can all sing together. It's a very simple one. It goes, he's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Raise your hands, all of you. Everybody raise your hand. Sing it again. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Now keep your hands up in the air. Father, we lay down before you right now every bit of flesh that we are aware of. Father, we don't want the thoughts, the words, the intellect, the attitudes, the moods, the mindsets. We don't want those things, God. We confess them as sin, and we lay them down before you. And God, we ask that you take those things from us. Give us the mind of Christ. Give us the faith of Jesus. God, we cannot walk in the Spirit while we're catering to the flesh. Lord, for anybody here this morning that's dealing with drugs, alcohol, pornography, God, we lay it down. We will not be enslaved by things that rob us of the anointing because we desperately need the anointing. Father, I'm going to pray it like this. May everything that is detestable to you become detestable to us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And now, God, as these dear saints have prayed that prayer, Lord, we raise our hands. We raise our request to you right now. God, fill us with the Spirit of God. And Lord, fill us with a fresh anointing, the anointing of a warrior. Hallelujah. The mindset of a warrior. God, that we will go out and attack the kingdoms of darkness. In Jesus' name. Can anybody say amen to that? God, we're going to do it under the anointing of God. And Father, give us the presence of mind to ask every day for a fresh infilling, every day for a fresh outpouring. God, I commit these people into your hands to that end. And I call this as done. God, I believe this. I trust you, God. I love these people and I trust them into your hands. God, when they begin to slip, when we begin to slip, God, let the Spirit of God, the hound of heaven, immediately arrest us and correct us so as not to lose that anointing. God, I speak these things to you now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be seated for just a moment. I'm going to tell you something. God uses everything in our lives. Everything in our lives, listen, even the unpleasant things, God uses. I'm not a war hero. I just happen to be in the wrong place at the right time or the right place at the wrong time. But I have seen cities in minutes wiped out by planes flying overhead and just bombing the tar out of them. In 1974, Becky's sick of this story, but it applies right now. In 1974, there was a war on the island of Cyprus. The Greeks and the Turks were fighting over possession of the island. I was one of 12 Americans that was on the island, and both Greeks and Turks decided they were going to come after the Americans, and we ran for 4 months before we got out. But during that time, I saw city after city. We'd be hiding in the hills, and the Turkish F-16s would come over and just pound these cities and blow them up. And I saw things that I prayed, God, get this stuff out of my head. I don't want to see it. Same in Southeast Asia. But one day, several years later, when I was in a very low point in my life, and I felt, and maybe some of you have felt this way as well, that at those points you feel like your prayers are going nowhere, they're not effective. And if the devil has his way, he'll get you to stop praying. Am I the only heathen here? And all of a sudden, after I'd asked God to remove those visions from my mind, God brought back the bombing of the city of Limassol, which is a little city in Cyprus that I happened to be sitting on a hill, watched it completely wiped out in a matter of minutes. And you know what God said to me through that scene? He said, when a saint of God prays, regardless of how they feel, that's what they're doing to the kingdom of darkness. When a saint of God, under the anointing of God, begins to pray, and I immediately, for some reason or another, had a vision of a little old lady back in a closet somewhere just muttering a prayer. She is striking fatal blows to the kingdom of darkness. God helped me see that and reprocess it in my mind. And there he took something ugly and made it a very valuable tool for me. And I pass that on to you this day. Just because you don't feel like it does not mean the anointing has lifted. Just because you don't feel like you're effective in prayer doesn't mean that that's the case. But I hope that you will remember the scene that I've tried to create in your mind, that every time you pray under the anointing of God, you are blowing to smithereens the strongholds of the devil. Never stop. Winston Churchill said that to his country during World War II, expecting to receive a wonderful speech. He stood up in front of them and three times he said, never give up, never give up, never give up. And he turned and walked off. And I say the same thing to you today. Never give up. You are under the anointing of God. You say, how do you know? Because I just prayed for you and I believe God's doing it. Amen. Amen. I don't know how to end it. It's like flying an airplane. I can fly it, but I don't know how to get it on the ground. Here you go.
Well, let's just bless everyone here. Would you just lift up your hands like this? Father, your word says that you bless those who seek you, right? You bless those who are thirsty, those who are hungry. And so, Father, and those who are humble, Lord, you do not resist the humble, but the proud. And you give food to eat, Lord. You associate, you gravitate, you want to go toward those who are hungry, those who are thirsty. And so I just bless each and every one that you're going to fill their mouths and you're going to fill their hands with the word of God that will bring life. It would be the right word at the right time in the right place. So I bless each and every one in the name of Jesus. Amen. You are dismissed.